This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Welcome to Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine. It's us guys, Les Jackson here, Fred Staub next to me in the passenger seat, sharing the seatbelt, because we only have one. But nonetheless, we are on the road. We've got a whole bunch of automotive stories to cover. Pretty cool stuff going on, and, you know, fall is not far away.
Yeah, I like that concept. I'm a big fan of fall, but I'm also a big fan of big range when it comes to electric cars. Chevy had a big announcement this week, and it is the Bolt range, the official range, and it's going to be a game changer. We'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, it's rewriting the rules, and that's cool. And also, leaked emails and documents have been playing a big role in this presidential election. And now Jeep and Ford have had some leaks on their own.
Yeah, and we're going to share them with you.
Of course we are.
Yeah, and Les, this next story is going to make you very, very happy. And I'm happy about it, too. The station wagon is getting popular again with new models from VW, Volvo, and Porsche. What?
Yes.
Yes, wow. That's right. Porsche.
Well, you know, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
About time. It's still the most sensible vehicle. But anyway, we'll talk about that. And also, we've been sort of predicting this. Has the age of the car show come to an end?
Well, you know, I think you're going to find that it has in some ways, or it's changing, because auto manufacturers are not going to every show. We're going to have some information about who's not going to be attending the Paris Auto Show, as far as manufacturers go, but we'll tell you all about that. Plus, they call it the everyday electric. We take the first drive in the SRK prototype, and the president of the company, Mark Frohmeyer, will join us. I had a chance to drive this, Les, right through New York City, through Central Park, up Fifth Avenue. It was amazing. Tell you all about that, and Mark will be by to tell you about who this vehicle is being built for. A lot of fun.
Absolutely. It's pretty cool. I wish I had had a chance to take it for a little spin.
Yeah, you're a motorcycle guy, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm an electric guy.
Hmm.
I'm more of a motor scooter guy.
Yeah. Well, it's a combination of things. It's got three wheels, two seats. You sit fighter style, you know, with your passenger behind you. A lot of fun to drive. We'll tell you all about that. All that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this edition of Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Don't forget, we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can go there and get a lot of information. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. All there, cruisecontrolradio.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about the vehicle that could put more people and electric cars than any other vehicle so far. Talk about that when we come back on Cruise Control Radio. Keep it buckled, keep it pointed, keep your foot in it. Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
You've got a great car.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. Les has just bought 14 cases of D-cell batteries trying to convert the cruise control van into an electric car. hoping to get the range of the Chevy Bolt EV. It was announced this week that you can drive the Chevy Bolt, Les's favorite name for the vehicle, from the U.S. Capitol to the Empire State Building on one battery charge.
That's pretty impressive.
An EPA-certified range of 238 miles. This makes it a real car, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, this pretty well mitigates, if not eliminates, the range anxiety that electric car buyers have. Clearly, most of these are not going to be the only family vehicle. But to have something with that kind of range as the second vehicle, you know, you can go pretty much anywhere you want.
Yeah, you really can. And I'm wondering, vehicles now that have 75 to 130 miles, this almost makes them like, why would people even consider them? Am I right?
It's going to kill the value of them.
Yeah. I mean, this is not out yet. And Wozniak, Apple's Wozniak guy, the guy from Apple, said he's buying one. He likes it better than Tesla.
Well, the fact
he's
is...
he's value-oriented, he said.
It's a safer purchase.
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Yep.
You can get it fixed anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it should be at some dealerships, it's unclear, some dealerships by the end of this year. Pretty cool.
I would imagine it'll be the more temperate climate dealerships.
Yeah, because they want it to have a good launch. Now, the European version, this is interesting, of the Bolt, the Opel Ampera. Ampera.
Better. That's a better word for the Ampere.
Yep. Will have a range of 249 miles. The extra 11 miles is due to the different testing standard because the cars are basically identical. Interesting, right?
Yeah, although maybe the Opel's a little lighter.
They're saying no. They're saying it's just a difference in how it's tested.
That's interesting.
Yeah. GM will start production of the Bolt at its Orion Township near Detroit at the end of this year. And they'll build the Opel on the same production line. That's pretty cool, right?
They'll probably do that for a first year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when they get it sorted out.
And still, remember, they say the price will start less than $37,500, but most drivers will qualify for the federal tax credit of $7,500 and any state tax credits available to them. So a lot of people should start thinking about that and checking what tax credits are available to them, right, in their state.
Well, yeah.
Some even in local, I think in California, they even have some local ones, you know, like a county. So, you know, if you're looking at, you could be looking at 10 grand or more off, right?
You could. Plus, you might even get some sort of a rate from your electric company.
Also, I have to ask, what do you think is going to happen when this car first comes out? Are they going to try to gouge on it or no? Because it is kind of a bread and butter car, right?
It is, and I think just because the buying public right now is going with crossovers and SUVs, I don't think they're going to do that. I just think they're going to sell them as the dealers can get them in and strike the best deals and get them out on the road.
Remember, the Model 3 has not come out yet. That is Tesla's affordable car. That is supposed to have a 215-mile range. Isn't that funny? This is the new horsepower now. This is the new horse. It used to be torque and horsepower and that. Now it's range, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's you know, there's always a competition going.
Right. Now it's range.
Yeah.
But this is a car that's going to come out well before the Model 3. And I think, if I was waiting on a Model 3, I'd think about buying one of these first because I think, as you say, it's more of a sure bet.
Yeah. Plus, it's, you know, it's nice looking.
Exactly. Well,
I've sat in it.
It's a real car. It's certainly a real car. Well, leaked documents, Les, of course, have been a problem for our presidential candidates and parties. And that we're going to tell you about two leaked documents when we come back on Cruise Control Radio that affect, well, the car company. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
I got a new car. I got a new car.
Cruise Control.
Welcome back to Cruise Control. Les and Fred here at the wheel. And now we're going to leak information. Because everybody else is doing it, we may as well do it too.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been leaking information about everything, it seems like, from government secrets to political things this season. So why not car companies? We've got some information on the 2018 Jeep Wrangler, a leaked document. How much aluminum will it have? Well, it will have aluminum hood and doors. And they're going to be made out of Alcoa's A951, which is the company's pretreatment for aluminum sheet bonding technology. Tough and light, this stuff is, less. And it's not going to be entirely made out of aluminum. So the tub in the back will still be steel. Pretty cool, right?
Well, yep. They certainly want to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. They're also going to have a front and rear door inner liners and hood outer and inner aluminum. And we'll have to see what else gets aluminum. Of course.
Probably some suspension castings.
Probably some suspension castings. And, of course, there's going to be a diesel in there as well as an option. So A lot of cool stuff going on for the 2018 Jeep Wrangler. Big deal when that gets, that's a big seller, and it's a big deal when it gets redone. So they will be redoing it, and we'll be following that on Cruise Control Radio. We're also following the Ford Raptor, and this was a leaked document. Everyone's been talking about this. We even had some guests on. We were talking about the new 3.5-liter EcoBoost V6 that will now reside in the Raptor's engine bay. How much power will it have? Well, it's going to have 450 horsepower, 510 pound-feet of torque.
That's a lot.
This was found on the FordRaptorForum.com, this information. Do you know that is 39 horsepower and 76 pound-feet more of torque than the outgoing 6.2-liter V8? Wow.
Yep. Shows you what computerized ignition mapping can do.
Well, that's right. A similar 3.5-liter EcoBoost engine is found in the new Ford F-150. That makes 365 and 420 pound-feet of torque. You know, this tells you, like, when people add aftermarket tuners and that, they always leave something on the table. Car manufacturers, because they have to overbuild it, because the thing has to go 100,000 miles. They can't be coming back to the dealers, but there's probably a lot of beef in that engine if they, from the factory, can jack it up to 450 horsepower and 510 pound-feet.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And it will still be able to hold its warranty. So
Yep.
They probably, I think at any given time, they probably are only using about half of the maximum power that these things could be capable of producing.
Yeah, they do all the numbers, and they basically figure out, well, if we run this kind of power level, what kind of wear will we get? And it's a great question to ask about ask an engineer next time we have another engineer on Cruise Control Radio. About how you basically over-engineer it and then underutilize it to, A, have the ability to bump up the horsepower a little bit, down the line to talk about it. And B, you know, you've got to have the thing last for 100,000 miles. So pretty cool. And once you get it on your own, you can upload another tune, and you can wear your engine out even faster if you want.
Yes, right? That's right.
Yeah. The Raptor Supercab is rumored to have a price tag of $49,520, which is not that expensive when you think of some of the Raptors in the past.
Plus, just, you know, fully loaded pickup trucks in general, we're seeing them in well into the 40s.
Yeah, deep into the 40s and commonly in the 50s and sometimes even in the 60s. So not that bad on the price. This is a story I think, Les, that you will be happy about. Station wagons making a return. No, not with stick-on wood grain, but with new technology. And we have a number of them to talk about. The VW AllTrack. It's a 2017 model. It's a wagon, the Golf wagon, all-wheel drive. Has an off-road mode that adds hill descent control and optimizes traction control for all off-road terrain. Apparently does pretty well off-road. It starts at $27,770. In SE trim, it starts at $31,350. And the top SLE starts at $33,710, including a shipping fee. Not bad. It 66 feet cubic feet of space with the rear seats folded, and leatherette seats. Warm leatherette seats are standard.
Absolutely, but you know, I mean, again, the station wagon format
is good.
You know, it's an old concept, and yet I think it's still the best one.
This is going to compete well with the Crosstrek, the Outback. They really drawing a bead on Subaru here. Volvo is a little bit more upscale. They have the V90 Cross Country, which is a raised-up wagon, really a handsome car, isn't it? They're doing something
it
right
is.
Over at Volvo.
Yeah, it is. Volvo has really entered the 21st century.
Yep. The extra ride height added ruggedness and ground clearance, yet it still looks car-like, doesn't it?
Very much so. And, of course, Volvo is famous for their station wagons.
Mm-hmm. And this is not a boxy-looking version at all. Very, very handsome.
Yeah, sleek.
And you want something a little sleeker than a crossover, it might be the vehicle for you. And it's going to have its public unveiling at the Los Angeles Auto Show in November. And it's going to replace the XC70. That's what it's going to replace. So very, very cool. And not to be undone, did you ever think this would happen? Porsche is expected to show its first station wagon at the Geneva Auto Show next year.
Well,
four-door station wagon.
Yeah. Well, the Panamera has done very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a practical, everyday family Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
If there was such a thing,
right?
And why not have it as a station wagon version? Again, this sort of layout is very popular in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and in Asia,
mm-hmm.
Just not here.
That's right. That's right. Well, the hybrid version of the Panamera will be revealed in the Paris Motor Auto Show next month. And then they're going to have an all-wheel drive version with a purely electric range of about 30 miles. So it's plug-in hybrid. And the model will start in Germany at 107 euros, 107,000 euros, or 120,795 here in the U.S.
Woo-wee.
Beefy. That's a beefy price.
That's slightly above my budget.
Well, we're going to have something coming up that's a little probably more in your budget, Mark Frohlmeyer from Archimoto will join us, and he's going to tell us about their SRK. I had a chance to drive a prototype around New York City. It's considered a motorcycle. When I asked Mark, I said, is this considered a motorcycle? And he says, yes, it's a three-wheel motorcycle, two wheels up front, one in the back, and you sit like a fighter pilot, you know, person up front steering with motorcycle controls, and there's a person behind you. Now, great vehicle for mobility, all electric. Mark's going to be here after the break, so stay tuned to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. We will be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Well, I'm a rolling daddy with a mean machine. It's gotta be it. Moving it sure is clean. I'm a hot rod man. Yeah, I'm a hot rod man. Cruise Control. And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We're glad you're along for the ride. Don't forget we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. It's all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. Les, you and I have been talking about vehicles for clean mobility for a long time, haven't we? We've talked about this Challenge Bibendum, a lot of the things that Michelin used to do where they would get all these green vehicles together. I had a chance to drive the Archimoto SRK. It was a prototype this week in New York City, and it was a blast. It's basically a motorcycle. They call it a motorcycle, but it's got three wheels. Real easy to drive. I jumped in there after about a short ride with Mark, the president of Frohlmeyer, who will be with us in a second. It was like I'd always driven the thing. It was real easy to drive. Pretty cool looking, don't you think?
It's really neat looking. It also looks practical.
Mm-hmm.
I can see tremendous applications for this. For instance, retirement communities in anywhere. But you know, I could see these all over Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because it's a real vehicle, you can go out on the highway.
It can go up to 85 miles an hour, which is not bad, is it?
It's amazing. And you sit kind of tall in it. You don't feel like you're in a little subcompact.
No, not at all. It was really, really good visibility. And it was funny. In New York City, I had the ability to talk to people. So you pull up and it's like, hey, can I pull in there? You know, you're going around and it was easy to talk to people because it's got that the best thing about a motorcycle, which is, you know, they talk about, you know, riding a motorcycle, you out there, you hear more things, you see more things. And you have all of that with the Archimoto SRK and you still have, you know, cover because it is covered, completely covered. You can even get side doors for it as well. As an option. Very, very cool.
How easy is it to park? Do you back in or just go forward?
You can back in. I just basically pulled up to the curb, but you can certainly park it like a motorcycle. You can park three of them in one parking space, which is pretty cool. So that's a plus. And I like the idea of somebody using it as a delivery truck. They have a delivery version, which is pretty cool. And they also offer, as I said, side panels. You can get air conditioning. You can get a stereo. It has Bluetooth. It has heated seats. Not bad, right?
It's amazing.
Heated controls, you know, handlebars, you know, so if it's cold. I think it'd be a great little commuter around town.
And did you say what the range of it is?
I believe the range was 130 miles, which is not bad.
That's plenty.
Plenty, you know. We're hoping to get Mark on here soon, the president of the company, to talk about it. We will talk to him in a little bit. But I really enjoyed it. Easy to drive, real good. And as I said, Mark gave me a little bit of a ride And basically was at the controls like minutes later, you know, and in New York City, and very, very comfortable with it. I mean, these are important, these vehicles. Mobility. Everyone does not need a full-size car.
That's very, very true. I'm thinking of commuting in cities where these things make perfect sense. You live in a condo or an apartment. You have this thing down in the garage. You go wherever you want to go, commuting, you know, to your office and whatever. And then on the weekends, you go out into the suburbs shopping.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this thing is costing virtually nothing to run.
Yeah, yeah. They are estimating a price of around $11,000. These are prototypes yet. But, you know, frankly, that is the price of a motorcycle. And it is considered a motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we have Mark on the line, or is coming into us real soon here. So we will get all the details on this. Mark, are you with us? Okay, well, we're working on getting Mark. I heard something there.
Hello?
Hey, there you are, Mark. Mark is Frohmeyer, the president of Arkimoto, and we appreciate you're with us on Cruise Control Radio.
Well, I very much appreciate you having me on the show.
Yes. Now, I was just telling my co-host Les here that you and I had a chance to drive around Manhattan and how easy it was to drive the vehicle basically with just a short amount of instruction.
Yeah, you think about a regular two-wheeled motorcycles, and it's actually got a pretty huge learning curve, right? You've got to learn how to counter steer and lean and deal with the clutch and so on. But the SRK, we found it takes, you know, literally 10 seconds for people to learn the basic controls and a couple minutes to become very comfortable with it.
Yeah, I was comfortable with it right away
and
in New York.
You dove right in. I mean, you jumped into Manhattan traffic and had no problem from what I could tell.
Yeah, it. What I was telling Les before is it has the great thing that you get on a motorcycle, which is you're out in the open. You can see everything. You can even talk to people. You and I talked to some of the pedicab, the pedal cab people, and they were really digging it, weren't they?
Absolutely. Well, if you're pedaling around a three-wheeler all day long and you see some guys cruising by in a pure electric cruiser, it'd be naturally a fun thing to jump onto.
Yeah. Well, let's take it back, and I want to get Les involved in here, too. How did this all come about?
So I was, once upon a time, I was a software entrepreneur and worked in the computer games industry. Sold a company in 2007 and went looking for a product for me. I wanted an electric vehicle that was going to be very lightweight, incredibly efficient, high product quality build, something that would solve, you know, daily trips. So going to work, going to school, going out with friends, going to the grocery store, going over to meet the parents for dinner. And the marketplace just simply did not then, that was 2007, and does not today, have that every day, every person's EV available. So after sort of a months, many months long fruitless search, I ended up starting a new company to go and build it.
That makes tremendous sense. And I guess you looked at all the available stuff. Obviously, electric cars are around, but they're pricey. And, you wanted something much, much more sophisticated than, say, a scooter, which, is great in very dense populated areas, but they don't work very well in the United States. There are just too many disadvantages.
Yeah, what really sort of was the catalytic spark was I went to a parade and saw a little three-wheeled electric vehicle called the Buggy, which is a one-person sort of scooter meets trike, semi-enclosed kind of a product, and it was just seeing it, sort of that light bulb turn on moment, And what the light bulb illuminated was this giant gap between the scooter and the car. Right? You in the U.S., we've got two-wheeled modes, bicycles, scooters, motorcycles, and then we have full-size 4,000-pound passenger cars capable of carrying 5 to 7 people for hundreds of miles at a time in a great degree of comfort. But in between those two things, in between those two ideas, there really hasn't been much in the way of successful product categories created that have sustained on the road in the U.S. We're starting to see that change. So the Can-Am Spyder, the Polaris Slingshot, the emergence of the new three-wheeled class of vehicles. Certainly the momentum, the early pre-order interest in companies like Elio and Arcimoto are showing that there's sort of a broad appetite out there for something that lane splits between the scooter and the car.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and we've got about a minute in this segment, I hope you stay with us. I was going to say, why three wheels? I mean, is there's an advantage to that as far as creating it as a motorcycle?
Well, the driver for the project from the very beginning has been efficiency. So that's efficiency of the form, aerodynamic efficiency, weight, materials, rolling resistance, and so on. Three wheels both gives a great ride experience and lets us build an incredibly efficient form and get it into the market efficiently.
Very good. We're going to have more with Mark from Arcimoto after this, so stay tuned to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine. We'll be right back. Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Don't forget, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, all there, cruisecontrolradio.com. We were talking to Mark Frommeyer from Arcimoto about their SRK everyday electric vehicle. It's classed as a motorcycle, right, Mark? And so the laws might be a little different.
Yes.
In certain states, as you might need a motorcycle endorsement, I think they call that in New York. But
some states require an endorsement, some states require a helmet. Most states now are working on or already have in law carve-outs for three-wheeled vehicles from those codes. Because, you know, sort of as you experienced, you can operate it basically from go, as long as you know how to drive.
Exactly. And
that's right.
Yeah. We should talk a little bit about how you drive it. It started off with a steering wheel, right, Mark? But now it looks like motorcycle handlebars.
Yeah. So the first 7 versions we built, and we've now built 8 versions of the general idea. The first 7 used steering wheel and pedals to operate the vehicle. And what you might wonder, why did we switch to handlebars? The reason being really because of what the steering wheel and pedals require you to do is really shift the passenger into a very recumbent seating position.
Mm-hmm.
And it extends the length of the vehicle and the complexity of the vehicle from an ergonomic standpoint. And what we found is that if we were able to successfully build a good control system with handlebars, that we could reduce by a very significant amount the weight of the vehicle and the space that the vehicle takes up. So our Generation 7 prototype, when it hit the road, weighed 1,750 pounds. Our first Generation 8 prototype, when we weighed it, was 1,023, so about a 40% reduction in weight. And that meant, you know, significant reduction in cost, improvements in efficiency, and so on.
Also, to me, I'm looking at a picture of the controls, and it looks to me that the passenger or the driver is going to be in a much better posture angle.
So you sit like you would sit on a city scooter,
yeah.
Versus sitting in like you would kind of all kicks back in a car seat.
Right. Right. Very.
But that gives you some of the things that we didn't count on that does. One is that it gives you much more leverage when you're in terms of how you move your own body's weight. In a car, you're kind of just sort of thrown into the seat. And you're really counting on the seat to counteract the side load forces in a turn and so on. In this, you can actually put your feet down and shift your own body weight, which gives it a much more active sort of experience when you're driving it. And so that was a nice bonus. The other one other element of that is that it also changed the shape of the windshield and gave us a really nice front and back sounding platform. So when you're speaking in the front seat, it echoes off the windshield and the dash much better. So you can actually maintain a real conversation with the person sitting behind you.
Absolutely. We did this in New York City traffic and I could hear Mark and he could hear me like we were sitting next to each other. Even with buses and things like that around, and the version we drove had no doors on it. It was open. I think it kind of looks like a cool helicopter inside with the tubes going up and the wraparound bubble. That's what it reminded me of. But one of the big things about... Well, go ahead, if you want, Mark.
Oh, I was going to just say that, you know, that experience of driving, you know, whenever we drive cars, we're always offset to one side. And so you always know where the left side of your vehicle is if you're in the U.S., but the right side of the vehicle is somewhere sort of far away off on your right side.
Right.
With when you put the passengers in line, then you're right in the center of the experience. So, and I think that's what when you're talking about the helicopter flying experience where all the lines sort of converge and everything is very balanced as you're going down the road. To me, that's just a much more pleasant riding experience than being offset and always having to. You sort of in a car, you always have to hug the center line because you don't know exactly where the other side of your vehicle is.
Great, great point. And it's kind of unique. The Archimoto is kind of unique because it is front wheel drive. And as you say, normally they would take in people that tried this in the past, they would take a motorcycle and try to put wheels on the front and the back wheel would drive. But in your case, the front wheel drives, which is better.
Yeah, and the first, I think the first inclination when you're building a reverse trike is to do exactly that. You take the back end of a motorcycle and the front end of a car and kind of wedge those two ideas together. And that's exactly what we did for our first few prototypes. But what we found was that the design was always fighting itself. Because if you have one rear traction wheel, then you want to load the rear wheel with weight to give you better traction. But you also want to load the front wheels because that's where your stability is. So you have that inherent conflict within the design where you're trying to load basically the opposite sides of the vehicle. And the design continually fights itself. When we switched to front wheel drive, that conflict resolved completely. So we ended up loading the wheels that are your steering wheels, that are your driving wheels, and instead of being pushed through a turn, you're pulled through a turn. But unlike a normal front-wheel drive car, you've actually got more like 70% of your weight over the front wheel. So you really have just a phenomenal amount of control, even versus an automotive platform in this design.
Yeah, I mean, that's very clear. Now, this is electric. How long does it take to charge? I assume you can charge it either 120 or 220 volt.
Yeah, and one of the real advantages of developing an electric vehicle that's 1,000 pounds instead of 4,000 pounds is that you just need a lot less juice to move it down the road. So 110 charging becomes a very viable option. You get like 10 miles of driving for each hour that you're plugged in on a 110, and you get about 40 miles of driving for each hour you're plugged in on a 220 charging station, dryer outlet or whatever.
And I think we mentioned the range. You think it's somewhere around 130 miles fully charged?
Yeah, there'll be a base model that does 70 miles of range, and then an upgraded range battery that'll do 130.
Yeah, and frankly, you know, if you're going around town and going, we talked about using this, going to the train station, you know, it's a, you can park three of them in the one spot. In other words, one car spot would hold three of these. To me, that's where it makes great sense. And for that, 70 miles would probably give you 2 weeks of of charge.
Yeah. You know, where we're located out in Eugene, Oregon, the number of miles people drive on average each day is 9. If you're in Portland, it's more like 14. The national average is 33.
Wow.
So even that 70-mile pack will do 2-plus average days of driving for U.S. drivers. If you live in L.A. or San Francisco or kind of one of the more spread-out metro areas where you're doing a serious commute every day, you'll want the 130-mile version. And, of course, the 130 will also let you do, you know, kind of weekend warrior-type touring where you go out to a nearby, go out through the local hills and rip around for a while.
Sure.
Like you might do on a bike.
Cool. Real quick, because we're almost out of time, the website to get more information, and when will it be available?
Website is Arcimoto, ARCIMOTO.com. We're taking reservations right now for our first production fleet next year. Planning on going into series production really right at the turn of the year, getting the assembly line booted up, and then it'll be a slow build into scale.
All right. Well, Mark, we appreciate it. We'll have to have you back because we really think this is a smart vehicle. Thanks for being on Cruise Control Radio. Time for me to say I'm Fred Staub.
I'm Les Jackson.
We're going to see you down the road.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.